Chemistry deals with the characterization of materials, and if it's applied in the field of medicine, the material that we're looking to characterize is perhaps a body. And actually what we're trying to do there is to diagnose perhaps a series of conditions that relate to health. One powerful method that's used widely in chemistry and in medicine is based on magnetic resonance. And it turns out that certain atoms behave as if they are little bar magnets. And one of those atoms is a proton, so a hydrogen atom. And we all know that hydrogen is quite prevalent in water, and that we're made up quite extensively of water. So in a hospital, in an MRI scanner, you would be exposed to a measurement, and it would actually involve looking at the water that's in the body. But in chemistry, a lot of atoms are magnetic, not just hydrogen, but carbon and nitrogen as well, for example. And we use all of this information to assemble a picture of the structure of molecules. And those molecules can be very small, and they can scale up to proteins and enzymes that are very large. And what we're doing is we're looking at these little magnets, and we're exploring how they interact with one another. And we're, as a consequence, we have to measure a very, very weak signal. And what we've done is we've come up with an approach that allows the signals that are detected to be increased in size by factors that approach, well, in excess of 1,000. And that means that we can make measurements much more quickly than was previously possible. From a chemical perspective, we can make a measurement in about a second that would have taken about 3 months normally. So what this is telling us is that we've got an opportunity to produce a picture that is more reliable, and also a picture that actually gives more information about the purity of the material that you're looking at. And at the same time, because we can complete our measurements very quickly, it means somebody else can come in and start their measurements.
Well, Simon said, gave the example of using water. An MRI in humans is very much about looking at hydrogen as little magnets in water and in fat in the body. But one of the things we really cannot do in humans is look at other chemicals very easily. It's very, very hard. And basically, the body is full of carbon. It's full of nitrogen. In a human MRI scanner, we wouldn't normally look at carbon. It's very, very difficult because the signals are so weak. They're much, much weaker than the hydrogen signals. But this new technique allows you to enhance the signal coming from carbon molecules as well as nitrogen molecules. Now, these are molecules that you would have to introduce into the body. You can't enhance the signals already in the body. You wouldn't have to use radioactive signals as has been used in the past to trace where a molecule is in the body. And nor would you have to use a heavy metal, which is easy to detect in MRI. You can just inject an ordinary everyday molecule that you might inject for some other purpose. It might be a simple thing like an amino acid. It might be something like a drug that would be used for some particular purpose to target where it goes in the body. And then what you'll be able to do is see that molecule much, much more easily. In fact, not only see it much more easily, see it in very high resolution. I have a high temporal resolution. In other words, you can take a picture every second and then see how that molecule evolves with time. But you can also see where it is spatially with high resolution, because you've got more signal. There's a lot more you can do with it. So basically, this should be able to allow people to do things that have really never been possible before in terms of non-invasive imaging. They still have a place. We're not talking about replacing those, but introducing a whole new range of applications for the imaging the body. Simon has talked about the fact that molecules act like little bar magnets. That's an extremely good analogy, but unlike a compass needle, when you put a compass needle in the Earth's magnetic field, it points towards north. But if you think about these little molecules, normally almost half of them point north and almost half of them point south. And that gives you a very, very small difference between the two. And that's that difference that you're normally trying to measure in chemistry or in imaging. This technique allows you to take a molecule and do it so they all behave like little bar magnets, but now they all do point in one direction. And the result is that you get a much stronger signal from those little molecules. And that turning them all into one direction polarizes the molecule, if you like, and that's what it's called, hyperpolarization. Now, the way that happens, to get that polarization, you have to have a source of polarization to be able to do this for the molecule you want. And what's special about this technique is that the source here comes from a particular form of hydrogen gas called parahydrogen, and it's actually the rocket fuel of the Challenger rockets. It's the same material. It's actually, in principle, quite straightforward. You start off with this gas, which is a source of magnetization, polarization, if you like. You start off with your substrate and a catalyst, and you put these things together, and you can end up having your substrate that you want having these very, very big signals. And this is what's unique about this technology, that ultimately you're not changing the chemical structure of the thing that you want to be able to get the big signals out of. And that's one of the things why we're so excited, because this means that you don't need to change the probe molecule that you're going to put in.
So there's a whole range of materials, as in it works extremely well for nitrogen-containing materials currently, and we estimated that about 70% of drugs contain nitrogen. So we would hope that you could immediately start to see this type of approach being applied very widely in the future on a clinical basis by actually polarizing drugs themselves and looking at where they interact, where the receptors are, how they're metabolized, and actually being able almost to come up with a dosage that's unique to a particular patient. And if you think about neurotransmitters and think about, for example, Parkinson's disease or other forms of dementia, as in you can start to immediately think that actually perhaps we've got the sensitivity again to be able to watch things cross what's called the blood-brain barrier, and then actually be able to immediately look at how a patient is responding to treatment or even diagnose a condition and begin to make assessments of whether they're likely to generate these sorts of conditions as they get older.